Coming up on KUCB News, GCI blames yesterday's outage on a failing transformer, and signs may point to a great white shark swimming in the Bering Sea. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At their regular session, councilors will continue discussing whether to ban the local distribution of single-use plastic bags. They'll also consider funding requests for the State Ferry System and the Arctic Council. The City Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. A power source failure in Anchorage yesterday caused service issues for GCI customers across the state. GCI spokesperson Heather Handyside says the outage happened around 5 a.m. yesterday near company headquarters.
What we know is that services statewide that were impacted include our wireless service, our local and long-distance service. We have had some reports of video service being interrupted in southeast communities, and we have some interruptions to internet services in the Anchorage area.
GCI's backup power system also failed at first, but Handyside says service returned to normal late yesterday afternoon. She says the original failure was traced back to a transformer operated by the Anchorage-based electric utility Municipal Light and Power. According to the power company, that transformer has been replaced, and company officials are trying to determine the exact cause of the outage. There's only one historical record of a great white shark in the Bering Sea. Fishermen caught one about 40 years ago, but scientists have reason to believe that in recent years, there might be more of the predators around. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
In the past 3 years or so, Brandon Amosik says something strange has been opening its jaws to marine mammals in the Bering Sea. Think chewed-off flippers and large bite marks. Some seals were beheaded. Amosik is a subsistence coordinator at Kowarik, the nonprofit arm of the Bering Straits Regional Native Corporation. And he says killer whales have been known to maim their prey. But the bite marks that have been showing up recently look clean. Killer whales tend to tear their food apart, which got Amosik thinking. Could this be a great white shark?
When we first started getting pictures of these, so we're asking local fish and game in the fisheries department, could this be a shark attack? And right off the bat, kind of got laughed at.
Eventually, with the help of Alaska Sea Grant, the pictures were sent off to a shark expert in Hawaii.
And within, 5 minutes, we got a response back. This is classic shark bite.
Beyond just the bites, a couple of hunters spotted a large predator in the water about 7 years ago. They were on the south side of St. Lawrence Island in December. It had been a warm year, and sea ice hadn't developed on that side of the island yet. Amosik says the hunters were looking for seal when they saw a stellar sea lion leap out of the water.
Trying to get his butt to the island as fast as he can. And before it got to the island, came out of the water, and then all of a sudden it got hit from underneath, and they see a shark hitting it and then going down. Nothing else came up after that, but the water was just red.
The hunters saw what appeared to be a 16-foot-long shark, which is consistent with the size of a great white. Amosik estimates there's been about 20 reports of seal maimings. And scientists are still trying to gather more information from coastal communities before they can definitively say what's going on. But as the Bering Sea continues to warm, it's not impossible to fathom. More great white sharks could be hanging around. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
Meanwhile, three dead whales have washed up on two different beaches on Kodiak Island. Mandy Magura is a marine mammal stranding coordinator with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. She says the first report came in late June when residents spotted a young gray whale lying on Passagshack Beach.
It sounded like some of the local residents had been seeing it for a few weeks, prior to us receiving the report. We were able to work with a local group who is part of our stranding network, and they were able to go out and collect some samples. There is some discussion that the tongue was missing on this young animal, and so if that's the case, we speculate its cause of death might have been due to a killer whale attack.
She says the second stranding came just 2 days later in the same area.
An adult gray whale that was actually fairly fresh dead, and we were able to get a veterinarian out to conduct a necropsy.
Finally, a third whale washed up dead a few days later near Port Lyons, a different part of Kodiak Island. Magura says it's concerning to have three such strandings in the span of a week. And while preliminary necrops results should be back soon, detailed reports will take time. Gray whales are making their annual migration from Mexico, where they spend the winter. The species is listed under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. As the Gulf of Alaska struggles with low sockeye returns, communities along the Chignik River are experiencing the weakest run in 50 years. And as KDLG's Mitch Borden reports, fishermen are stuck waiting for a commercial opener as they anxiously track how many fish are returning.
There's really only one thing to talk about in Chignik Bay these days. Where are the sockeye?
Shock is pretty much the guaranteed feeling of most people, as kind of everybody's walking around dazed.
Ben Allen, a local fisherman, says there have been slow salmon years before, but nothing like the run failure the Chignik region is currently experiencing. So far, there haven't been any commercial sockeye openings in the region because there haven't been enough salmon to sustain future runs. It's to the point where residents have pulled their subsistence nets voluntarily to try and get every salmon they can up the Chignik River. Luckily, there are two sockeye runs annually, so people are hoping the later run will be a strong one. But Allen says it's hard to stay optimistic.
The ebb and flow of fishing does happen, and you know, you just kind of hope that the next run or the next year is going to be something worth going after, but there's not a lot of hope involved anymore.
Chignik Bay is small. There's less than 100 year-round residents, and like other nearby communities, red salmon is the main source of income that keeps the lights on in the village. The commercial fishery in the Chignik region has been struggling for a while, and the failure of this run is making people wonder what the future holds.
Honestly, we don't know if we're going to still be doing this in 5 years, 10 years.
When I bought the boat and permit, I didn't think it was going to be this much of a struggle, you know, to get things going and try to hand it down to my son, which is, you know, he's young, and I don't want him to hand a big bill, that's for sure.
Billy Anderson is from Chignik Bay and has been a commercial fisherman for most of his life. He says he's never seen a worse salmon season, which is a sentiment echoed throughout the community. And fishermen aren't the only ones concerned about this year's run. So are the biologists monitoring the situation, like Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Don Wilson.
We're worried that we may not even meet the minimum escapement goal for the year.
So far, only around 170,000 sockeye have reached the Chignik River. ADF&G's minimum escapement goal for the month of June was around 300,000. It's too early to know for sure what caused the region's early sockeye run to fail, but there is a hypothesis.
It's very likely that it's related to the warm waters we've seen in the past couple of years out in the Gulf of Alaska.
She's talking about the blob, which was a body of unusually warm water that settled in the Gulf a few years ago. It's since moved out of the Gulf, but it could have caused some of the area's sockeye stocks to crash. Even if the run failure is due to environmental factors, local fishermen are still frustrated, and Axel Copen is one of them.
If it was just a bad run, you know, and we knew our fish were getting through to us, yeah, bad runs happen. But when you got a bunch of your fish being intercepted, you know, just a few miles below you, and you're sitting on the beach and you don't even get to do subsistence, it's hard to take.
Copen's the president of the Chignik Seiner Association. He says fisheries along the Alaska Peninsula catch salmon from mixed stocks that include Chignik sockeye, and some sections have continued to fish even though Chignik's first run failed, which local fishermen want to change.
We're not here just to get our escapement. Yeah, we want our escapement, but we also need to catch fish and make money. We are actually living, breathing people here too, you know, and we need to actually have enough fish to make a living.
It's hard to say how many fish caught along the peninsula are destined for Chignik, according to ADF&G, but the sections that have been open along the peninsula during Chignik's run failure have been limited for the first time ever because of it. Fishermen in Chignik don't think these restrictions are enough, so they're petitioning the Alaska Board of Fisheries to change the way some sections along the peninsula are managed to protect Chinook sockeye resource. The Board of Fisheries has called an emergency meeting for July and will consider Chinook's request. The five Native tribes from the Chinook region are also reaching out to Governor Bill Walker to see if there's any aid the state can offer. For fishermen like Dale Carlson, though, these efforts are necessary, but they don't change anything about the current situation.
As a fisherman, you're always thinking, okay, well, next week, or like I said, the next tide, but we're starting to run out of the next tides, and the next week's here pretty quick.
All people can do now is wait and see how Chinook's late sockeye run turns out. In Chinook Bay, I'm Mitch Borden.
The Board of Fisheries emergency meeting is set for next Tuesday, July 17th in Anchorage. It's still unclear whether the Chinook area will see a commercial sockeye harvest this summer. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.